Hi, today's February 13th, 2016, and this is Comics News Podcast number 79. I'm Todd Gosford, my good friend Jay Stone. And we've got probably going to be a short-ish podcast tonight. We've only got two topics. And the reason it's short is not that Jay doesn't have a lot to say, so I don't have a lot to say, because I've only watched one of the first couple of episodes. I think Jay told me there are four episodes so far of DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and I only got around to watching the first one so far, so I wanted to speak with Jay to get his thoughts on it. Jay, have you seen more than the first episode?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. Okay. I finished the fourth one like this morning or something.
Okay. So I just literally watched the first one today. And here's my impressions of it. And Jay, you can tell me if it gets better, it gets worse, you know, whatever. So my first impression was, for the first 20 minutes, I didn't like it, because I thought the writing was really cliche. The dialogue was all cliche stuff, and I was getting kind of annoyed. But it greatly, and by the time the second half hit, and then in the next 10 minutes, we're like, it's okay. And the second half of the show, I really enjoyed, however. I thought it hit its stride, but I would have preferred go ahead.
The second half of the first episode?
Second half of the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would have preferred if they had spent some time developing the Rip Hunter character, since all the other characters have already been introduced in either Arrow or The Flash. So I think it would have been better to have spent, you know, maybe the first half of the first episode just developing the Rip Hunter character, giving us a feel for who he is, and all that kind of stuff. And even the big bad, you know, I mean, we all knew it was going to be Vandal Savage. That was no secret. That was in the previews. But I would have preferred that they assemble a team. Well, I guess he had to assemble it for the big bad, but still, I really don't like these epic storylines. I would have preferred if it develops a little. Even Arrow, you know, really developed a bit before they got into the big bad and all that kind of stuff. So, what did you think of the first episode, Jay? And does it get noticeably better as in the next three episodes?
The first episode, the dialogue was a bit cliched.
Yeah.
It was a little contrived. They kind of dive right into it.
Yeah, too fast.
Well, there's a way for them to do it that makes sense. But, I mean, you can tell what they're trying to do is, because I think what they're trying to do is pack in a lot in this later half of the TV season. Uh-huh. And so they're just throwing all kinds of things at it. Does it get better? The subsequent episodes are better than the very first episode.
Okay, that's
episode.
Good.
I agree with that.
Okay. I don't know, by the way, so I'm asking. Yeah.
Well, if you look at the Wikipedia entry,
mm-hmm.
One of the reviewers says that the second episode was better.
Ah, okay.
Right? So, IGN gave the first episode a 7.7 out of 10.
Okay.
And then gave it a 8.4 out of 10 on the second episode. So I would agree with that. I think the second episode was better than the first one.
Okay.
I think, I don't know if some ways I'd want to see more of Rip Hunter, because they changed him so much. He just seems like a Doctor Who kind of character. And I don't know if that's because he's
dresses,
a Time Master.
And he was an actor in Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it almost seems like he's playing a Doctor Who kind of persona.
Right.
He's in a ship that travels through space and time. He's from a group called the Time Masters, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
So there's kind of I don't know if it's a Whovian vibe. But when I found out he played Doctor Who, or he was in Doctor Who?
He was one of the companions. He was Amy Pond's husband. Or his character was Amy Pond's husband, Rory. So he was one of the people.
Okay, so he wasn't an actual Doctor Who.
He was not a Time Lord. He was one of the human companions.
That travel with him.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think also, too, because he has a British accent. When Rip Hunter is not from England.
Yeah, you know, that kind of bothered me. I mean, I never really thought about what, what's the word? It's not ethnicity, what country he's from. But I always thought of Rip Hunter as American, you know, like the rest, like the Challengers of the Unknown, where he first appeared.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I'm okay. I mean, you know, that's okay. But, and I'm not sure which version of Rip Hunter this is. It seems like this is the Rip Hunter, the rebooted Rip Hunter from post-Crisis.
I don't know. Because there have been so many versions of Rip Hunter, it's hard to tell anymore. I only remember Rip Hunter from... I really only remember Rip Hunter from a long time ago in the old comics, because I think I may have picked up a couple when I was a kid. And I remember Rip Hunter in late, you know, more post-Crisis, but not New 52 version. I'm not even sure if there's a New 52 version
anymore. Yeah, there was, I think.
But before, I guess, I'm more familiar with the Rip Hunter that kind of got intertwined with Superman's storyline. Because the Time Masters, or whatever they call themselves in the comics, well, you know, there was Rave Rider.
The Linear Man.
And it was... Yes. That kind of came out of the Superman comics.
Right.
In the 90s, I think. I think it was in the 90s.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Came around.
So I'm a little familiar with that. But he never seemed British to me.
Right.
I thought, okay.
Wave Rider was a live person, whereas here, Wave Rider is the name of the ship.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Because they could always bring in a real person later. Mm-hmm. And you could find out, oh, they named it after this person that died or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'm okay with that kind of stuff. I think the biggest
show
is that it... how do I want to say this? You know when they fight?
Yeah.
And there's, Captain Cold, and there's Heat Wave.
Right.
And you see, like, using their guns, right?
Right.
But you never see anyone freeze or burn up.
In other words, their weapons seem ineffectual.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it just seems kind of silly, right? You can tell the fight scenes are a little staged. It's like kind of my complaint with Arrow now.
Yeah.
The fight choreography isn't as interesting.
It's very slow. Especially
in Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, I noticed that Hawkman and Hawkgirl, for example, their fight sequences are so slow. It's like, did anybody look at this before they put it on, you know, on video? I mean, it looks very staged.
It does. It looks very, very staged. And I think it's because they can't afford to have a stuntman burn up in every episode.
Yeah.
And then that would mean while
the fight scenes are really poor. I mean, even Arrow in the first episode, even his fight scene is very slow and awkward looking. It doesn't look like the stuff you see in, you know, the Arrow TV show itself.
Yes. It's like they didn't get a good choreographer fight scene.
Right.
So that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of what I bugs me about the show.
Yeah.
To be honest. It just seems like every time they come out, you know, Captain Cold or Heatwave come out with their gun.
Yeah. Nothing happens.
It doesn't really do anything. Yeah. It's like, you're not even hitting it.
Right.
What are you trying to do? Just scare people?
Right. What's the point? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, in general, moving on to some other characters, although I want to get back to Captain Cold and Heatwave, is I don't like this version of Hawkman and Hawkgirl. I mean, there's nothing wrong from canon point of view. Basically, they're using the Earth 2 version of Hawkman and Hawkgirl, which is okay. Even though this is Earth 1. But I'm okay with that. But I just don't like, I don't know if it's the actors portraying it or the way the characters are written, but I just don't like it. Either character. I would have really preferred if they had used a Michael Shanks version of Hawkman from Smallville, who's, you know, older and grizzled and a little bit tired, you know, versus these two.
So I think Michael Shanks is a better actor.
Well, yeah. I mean, and anybody who's a Stargate SG-1 fan would just enjoys watching Shanks anyway.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah. But, you know, to be honest, though, DC some time ago got rid of the, not in the New 52, I think, but in the pre-New 52,
mm-hmm.
Hawkman and Hawkgirl are the version that you're seeing, essentially.
Yeah, but that's the Earth 2 version,
in
right?
Legends of Tomorrow.
The Kendra, whatever. No. And
Well, it became part of the old Hawkman series.
Mm.
So there was a Hawkman.
Yeah, but you like that.
And yeah, it was written by Jeff Johns. And so he kind of they morphed Hawkman and Hawkgirl into a they kind of made it more of a this Earth 2 version where they reincarnate from time to time. And then what they ended up doing is, because you see, pre-New 52, Justice Society was part of the New Earth.
Right.
And so there was no K'Tar Hol.
Right, Thanagar. H-O-L, right.
Yeah. What it was is that Prince Khufu and Shiera had been exposed to Nth metal in Egypt.
Right.
And that's how come they can reincarnate.
Right. And fly.
And how they're stronger.
Right.
Have enhanced senses and don't get hurt when people whack them. Right. The Nth metal protects them.
Right.
So pre-New 52, they developed that, I guess, retconned history. In New 52, there's a Kendra Saunders in Earth 2, right? That mm-hmm. that comic book. And she kind of looks like the current person in Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, I agree. That's what I think too.
Yeah, so what they did is they're combining different versions of the Hawkman and Hawkgirl characters in this Legends of Tomorrow show. But I just don't think that the guy who played Hawkman is okay. But that actor and then the plays Hawkgirl, I just thought they were miscast.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's not an appealing combination for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure. I think I'm going to blame the writers on this one. You know, the actors are probably doing what they can with what they're given.
Kendra Saunders was in Flash, right?
Yes, I remember. He was Cisco's girlfriend briefly.
And I didn't like her then.
Oh, really?
No, I just...
I thought that character was okay. I mean, you know, before it was revealed that... I mean, I knew from the name that she was going to become Hawkgirl, but I thought she was okay.
I think the character is fine. I just didn't think she was that good of an actress.
Well, there is that. And neither is the guy playing Hawkman.
I think he's better than the woman who played Hawkgirl.
Hmm.
That's my... I mean, if you get the female characters in Legends of Tomorrow, Katie Lotz is way better.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, and plus we're much more familiar with her character also, right? But I really did enjoy her work in Arrow.
Yeah, she has more gravitas.
Yeah.
She's more going on with her character. Yeah. She seems more like the white canary, black canary. She inhabits the character.
And
actor who's...
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm not sure why, but her fight scene choreography is better than the other fight scenes, but can't figure that one out.
Well, it could also be that she's maybe just bad at it.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just good at stage fighting.
Yeah.
And maybe she's had more training. And then the other part, too, is she is supposed to be a better fighter.
Right.
Because she's a, you know, assassin from League of Assassins. So
right.
That kind of makes sense to me. But it's
Well, not,
doesn't explain.
Well, it, I mean, it makes sense in terms of the other characters of DC Legends of Tomorrow, but it doesn't make sense from the point of view of comparing to Arrow because
their cold gun, heat gun.
Yeah, because no one gets. Arrow's fight scenes were just terrible in Legends of Tomorrow. That opening scene where he's fighting, I don't know, a couple of people, and Adam comes to help him.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're rushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to, you know, I kind of put it aside for a second, but you're mentioning Captain Cold and Heatwave. They're my favorite two characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what I like the best?
Who's that?
Firestorm.
Really? You mean the combined, the two actors, or?
Well, I like the two actors. I actually, you might like the latest episode because it kind of focuses on
Firestorm. Okay, I got to catch up.
But I'm also... I gotta be honest. I'm a big Firestorm fan. I have been forever.
Yeah, I was never a Firestorm fan. I mean, I didn't not like the character, but you know, it was just sort of okay. Character's in here. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well,
I loved Firestorm for a long time. I used to collect the old series.
Yeah, I'm willing to. You know, I mean, I don't not like them. Like I don't like I actively dislike the Hawkman, Hawkgirl characters, but I'm kind of neutral on Firestorm. I like the White Canary, you know, the Canary character from Arrow. Enjoyed her work there and enjoy it here. Heatwave, Captain Cold, I think they're awesome.
They actually are very good.
Yeah.
And they're actually my wife's favorite characters.
Yeah.
Because they're from Prison Break. Do you remember that TV series, Prison Break?
No, I remember the series, but I never watched it.
Anyway, the actors who play Heatwave and Captain Cold are from Prison Break, and my wife's a big fan of Prison Break.
Oh, both of them?
Yeah, both characters. They were brothers.
Okay.
In Prison Break.
Okay.
And now they're criminal partners.
Maybe that's why they play so well off each other. They're used to that give and take from their previous series.
Probably, but I would agree with you. They're probably two of the better characters in the group.
Yeah.
And more enjoyable to watch,
right?
Also, too, because they're not the criminals, and so they seem more real than some of the lofty characters in the series.
Yeah.
But it's I like Victor Garber as an actor, and I think the guy who plays Jefferson, his counterpart in Firestorm, I think he's actually becoming better as the series goes along.
I have to say, I enjoyed Victor Garber when he played when he was in Alias, which is a series I really enjoyed.
Oh yeah, he was amazing. He was just really, really good. Yeah. But I really like Firestorm, Captain Cold, Heatwave. In my mind, Hawkman, Hawkgirl is kind of a distraction. You have to have them in there because they're going up against Vandal Savage, and the way they wrote everything,
right.
It's all
right.
Upon them, right?
Right. So the three of them are really the focus of the story.
Have it.
Agreed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have something to look forward to when I have the next three episodes. Actually, you know, I missed the first episode completely, and my DVR flicked out on me or something. So I went and bought a copy of it from iTunes to watch it. I do have the other three episodes on my DVR, however, so I'll take a look at that.
They're on Hulu. It's on Hulu, you know.
I don't like watching Hulu because they put the commercials in and all that kind of stuff. Even if you pay, you have to watch the commercials, right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They say it's commercial free, but it's not really commercial free.
Yeah, so I don't want to watch Hulu. I DVR'd the other three. I think I should check my DVR to see if they're actually on there. But I did buy the first one, so I was able to watch that.
I think kind of the thing... Whoever's Greg Berlanti, I think he's really – I think he has to figure out how the characters work together. And I think it's a challenging show because all the characters are so different from such different backgrounds. And they're just thrust into this thing. It could be a really, really exceptional show, but trying to handle all those different characters in every episode –
yeah,
it's really challenging for any writer, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think any ensemble kind of show, you know, like Hill Street Blues kind of stuff is – you really need a good writer to make sure each of the characters gets a turn at focus and yet is part of the team, so to speak. But We'll wait and see. I mean, I think the Avengers has the same problem in the movie side of the world, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for that matter. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come together character-wise. I think each of the characters are pretty interesting. I even like the two scientist characters now. So, I'll give them a chance. But you're right, it is a challenge to write for a big group like this, especially since the characters, for the most part, are unknown to for most of the viewing public. I mean, you and I know all the characters like the back of our hand from, or at least a version of
the characters. I like them better now than I did before.
Yeah. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Okay. So, thumbs up from both of us, I think. With exception of the first 20 minutes or so of the show, of the first episode. So, good. It'll be listening. I still can't get into Agent Carter, by the way. I think I have it on my DVR, but I don't think I'm going to watch it. I can't bring myself to watch it. The next thing is a short one because neither you nor I have seen Deadpool the movie.
It does. I don't like the second season. I couldn't make it through the first episode.
Agent Carter?
I don't know why. Yeah,
I had the same problem with the first season. I watched the first two episodes and I just gave up.
Episode of Carter.
Yeah, and it's very disappointing because I thought I was going to like it. So it was very disappointing that I didn't like it at all. In any case,
I really loved the first season.
Really?
Really?
Wow. Anyway, the second topic is a short one because neither you nor I have seen Deadpool the movie.
Yeah, the second season for Agent Carter, I don't think I'll keep up with it. It's just interesting.
Okay, moving on. Okay, so Deadpool. Neither you nor I have seen it, but there are two things I wanted to note because it's not too surprising if you've seen the preview, but it's rated R. I think it's the first mainstream Marvel movie with an R rating. Is that right? I think so. And the second thing that kind of surprised me, because I only learned this recently, is that it's not part of the Avengers universe. I guess that's not too surprising, but it is part of the X-Men universe, which makes sense. Did that catch you by surprise at all? I was a little surprised.
I don't know. Punisher.
What's that? Uh-oh. I think Jay's having some audio problems. So, or some network problems. So we will stop here and get back to you next time. This has been Comics News Podcast number 79. Tadogasaur, Jay Stone, who's having a little bit of audio problem. We'll talk to you next time.